Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Did you know that silicon metal manufacturing is the largest emitter of CO2 on a per ton basis on the planet? HPQ Silicon is on the verge of disrupting the manufacturing process of fume silica, which uses silicon metal and is used in cosmetics, toothpaste, and powdered foods. How disruptive is the HPQ silicon process? Energy consumption 93% lower. Greenhouse gases up to 88% lower. Capital expenditure 93% less. And hydrogen chloride gas is completely eliminated. Now, more than just talk, the fume silica industry has taken notice, as evidenced by multiple NDAs with leading manufacturers. And just this past March, not even a month ago, the company announced that all major equipment was received in order to get their pilot plant final assembly done. And today we're talking about the plant design has been reworked to fast track it and de-risk the commercial plant scale up. That's a lot to talk about, but man, there's more in there than that headline. Bernard, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to ask you one question on the technicalities of what does it mean to rework? But what I really want to talk about today is the fact that I think, my personal opinion, is you're doing some serious telegraphing in this press release. And we're going to get to that in a second. But I want to address the main headline. So I'm going to ask you the very simple question. Obviously, we're not all experts on commercial scale fume silica plants, but what does it mean to rework and simplify the overall design of the 50 tons per year pilot plant system? What does that mean? How important is this step?
Okay, it's very important. What does it mean? What it means is you look at the process that you were designing, because very often when you do R&D in those type of situation, you'll like to over-engineer something just for the heck of it, because you know it's part of the process. You can over-engineer it. In this case, what they did is they looked at the process and tried to find all the places where they didn't need to over-engineer. Basically, they could use off-the-shelf system, okay, that can be incorporated within the system. That's what we say, we bought everything, so off-the-shelf system. An off-the-shelf system that already do exist at much larger scale. So you already know. So you're reducing the number of steps that will be covered by the scaling up by doing this, okay? Now, sometimes in R&D, you try to get everything, like all the new gizmo and all the issues. But in this specific case, we're going, because of the disruptive advantage that we have with the technology, our focus is on getting commercial scale material ready to go, for us to be ready to hit the ground running with something that can generate fume silica at commercial scale.
All right. So that's where I want to go now with what I see as telegraphing here at the commercial side, looking past almost a pipeline. Mm-hmm. Telegraph number one, you say, going forward, HPQ, Paul Vare, plans to negotiate offtake agreements in order to optimize the financial model and secure favorable financial terms for the construction of our first 1,000 ton per year commercial scale plant. Now, we know, because you've said it in previous interviews, you said, George, I try not to say much anymore in interviews over the last 2-3 years, unless we're pretty confident that we're going to be able to deliver something. Mm-hmm. You're talking about offtake agreements here. And I know I can't ask for specifics, but do you have reason to believe, do you have reason to be confident in the fact that offtake agreements are more than just a pipe dream or a want or a need, but they may be now in sight?
Okay. I have to be cautious about how I phrase my answer. As we know, we've signed NDAs and we send material, and the material has passed qualification. So the $100,000 question is, can we replicate at pilot scale what we've done at lab scale? We are extremely confident that this is a feasible goal and that we can do better. Now, once you get to this, and if you remember, I've been saying this on a regular basis, all right? If we make the material, it's there. There is no real differentiation, okay, between material fume silica produced by the number one guy on the list I put and the number five guys on the list. Fume silica is fume silica is fume silica. There's no differentiation. The differentiation has to do with the specific air size area of the material. Therefore, it goes into a specific category that is used as a specific market that sells at specific prices. So we are extremely close. We are in the first 2 weeks of Q2 2024. Right? We know that by the end of Q2 2024, the pilot plant will, the timing is for the pilot plant commissioning to be finished. Right, and then we will start producing in Q3 material. So it then becomes much easier for HPQ Pulverus, okay, to start approaching either. Okay, you got to remember there's going to be two groups we can sign offtake agreement. Okay, they can be George, you know, Food Corporation, Jude Food Corporation that uses, I don't know, 600 tons a year of fume silica in its material, okay? And for them, having the same material with a low carbon footprint would be good. So there's plenty of those clients out there that so we can deal directly with that one. Or we could deal with anybody else that's already in the fume silica business, okay? And either do white label material for them in exchange for offtake agreement, those issues. The options that we have are very, very wide once we start making the material at lab scale. So it's important for me because I am in discussion with group. We are having those issues. There are different groups at different areas, okay? And I think everybody is playing their cards very, very close to their chest. But everybody that I've spoken to it are fully aware that once we get the system working at pilot scale, it's not the same thing, okay? So I am just taking this time to educate investors and industrial partners, potential partners, competitors, of where we are in our process, where we're going, how we're seeing this, okay? Contrary to a lot of industrial projects that have to come into it, I don't need to start with a massive plant. So I don't need billions of dollars to be looking at doing generating revenues. Okay.
How much do you need for everybody new at home that's watching this or listening to it? How much do you need for us?
If you look at the costing and all those issues, okay, it's going to be anywhere between $15 million Canadian, okay, which many people said nothing, to $25 million US. And the $25 million US, according to our internal model, allows us to build up to 10 plants over a series of 10 years because of, you know, you reinvest the revenues generated doing this. So in the scale of industrial project of what we have, it's not very big. So the question now I'm having with financier is, oh, can you do more than 1,000 plants? Now, scaling up, we'll start with one, okay? And I think the original idea was to have one plant, one system, and all these things together. But there is a high probability that we will have demands for maybe, you know, 2,000 tons of offtake agreement even before we move.
Well, hold on, because that was my telegraph number two. So I want to give everyone the quote and then have you address it. Okay. Depending on the size of the offtake demand, HPQ may look at building additional 1,000-ton per year units concurrently over time.
Okay.
Concurrently or over time.
Again, I don't say things like lightly.
I know logically speaking, George Com Widgets could build multiple plants around the world. Sure, anybody could say that, and it's possible for anybody. But you don't say things like that in a press release unless you're feeling... And I'm not saying that guarantees anything, but you must be feeling confident in the discussions or the pipeline that's building or something in your marketing side that's giving you confidence? No?
Yes, I have confidence in all the above. Okay. And because I went through this process for the QRR, okay, I have a much better understanding. Okay. The QRR and QRR reached every one of its R&D goal. Okay. But the commercialization requires a bit more thinking and organizing around. In the meantime, the fume silica reactor came in, and it's a much easier pathways to commercialization generating revenues. So once we start generating revenue with this, we'll go back to the other technology to do it internally. So we don't lose too much of our focus. But we're also working the battery side, and that's another côté. Right now, for the fume silica business, we feel very confident that we will start making the material. We will make sufficient enough material for us to go be able to send samples to competitors, member of the industries, and clients, because end clients will approach us. We'll start hiring people to go do the knocking on doors, but we have such a competitive advantage. Why would somebody buy a material that generates 16 kilograms of CO2 per kilogram when they can have one that generates one? Because it...
Well, by the way, that addresses something you said earlier, is that fume silica. Mm-hmm. Well, the end product in terms of how it's used, that may be true, but your fume silica is a whole lot different, because when the end user supply chain is audited for mm-hmm. those purposes, mm-hmm. your fume silica is not the same. It's
exactly.
It's well, just night and day, just, because of your carbon, your almost zero carbon, significantly reduced carbon footprint, whereas everybody else, as you point out in Telegraph number 3, I'm going to talk about that, but not all fume silica is the same, right?
No, ours is different in two areas. Okay, once we can make, and that's written in the press release, once we'll make about size specific 300 material plus, okay, then we'll be in the food and the pharmaceutical grade. And then that one, we have an advantage because we don't have any HCI into it, which can counter-react into it, because it's a dangerous chemical. Ours doesn't have any. So we have a different... There's a lot of areas where we will have specific advantages to do it. Okay. And that becomes true once we get the pilot plant working. And the pilot plant working is at the end of Q2 2024. So the Telegraph message, and I've been saying this repeatedly, is that the timeline for people to come and negotiate with me in a position of less strength than I will have in Q3 2024, Q4, is now. And I might be willing to entertain some transaction that could help me move forward. Because if you have an offtake agreement for, let's say, 50% of what you're looking at building, okay, then it's very easy to go see the government and says, look, Canada does not have any indigenous supplier of fume silica. You want to cut down carbon emission? Well, this is the great thing. So, let's sign a deal where it will help me get good terms for financing of my plant. So maybe like 40% of the cost of building the plants can be financed through very, very, very promising government loan. In addition to this, there are tons of green funds out there that raise money specifically to finance projects like us. Now, you can't really approach them when you're at this specific moment. But once you have the offtake agreement, there's almost the risk goes down, massively. So that's sort of the message. I am just stating obvious facts that people don't really want to listen to at this specific moment, because they're focused on looking at other things. So it is my job to specify this thing. I know that the big players are aware of this, but they're playing a game of poker. And that's it.
And there's Telegraph number 3 I want to talk about. I feel like an infomercial. There's one, there's two, but wait, there's more.
Oh, trust me. Some people think we are an infomercial, but that's another story for another day.
And I I put these questions together in advance because I see the press release and I see the question the way I see it. So yeah. Bernard doesn't tell me what to ask. And so this is not a game show here, but mm-hmm. the third one was the most striking for me. And I'm sure it's probably most striking for everyone at home, because for the first time, I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 90% sure you actually named the five largest companies.
George, so, in the deck, it's their name.
Yeah, I'm talking about the press.
I don't name them, okay? I take a public source. Okay, the key point about understanding fume silica industry is this, okay? It's the closest thing to oligopoly that you can ever find anywhere in the world, all right? It's, put it differently, it's like, if you imagine, like, we use fume silica for construction. So if they're going to be building, you know, millions and millions of houses, you'll need more fume silica. You're going to use it in an EV car, you're going to need more and more of that material. All that material production is controlled by a small group of very large chemical companies because it is impossible using traditional process to make fume silica outside of that process. Okay? Look at it this way. It's as if, you know, I can go from, you know, oil and go directly to, so you know, super unleaded at 95% and no in-between step, and I can go directly into it, okay? That's what we have. Now, and I have sort of like to repeat it and repeat it to get people to start realizing it. At the same time, I have to repeat it also to the big players of the industry. It says, there's a competitor coming into the industry, okay? I understand I may not look serious, but you know, some people are starting to make the math about the potential about this.
Is that why not only do you name in the press release, but then you go on to almost call them out? You say these five companies, AB, I'm not gonna name all, people can read the press release, that use capital intensive, low margin, carbon intensive legacy technology. You're almost calling them out. And then you're throwing down the gauntlet, it seems to me, where you say HPQ is very well positioned to compete with traditional fume silica manufacturers and go to market after the end of the pilot plant phase. I mean, Bernard, I don't think it takes a lot. You're clearly throwing down the gauntlet for all of that group by making that statement.
I'm not throwing down the gauntlet. This is what we have. All right? I'm just stating a fact. Okay? Now, why is my share price does not reflect this at this moment? It's very simple. It's going to be binary. Okay? Once the pilot plant does it, then everything I've said becomes true. Okay? So until now, and the pilot plant makes it,
it's still theory. It's still theoretical.
It's not theory, but it isn't done. Okay?
Right.
But I do present a coherent strategy, coherent plan moving forward. We've been doing this. We've been working at this. You know, it's been a lot of work to get it where it is now, but it is there. Okay. And go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, it's okay. We're just like me rambling.
Your telegraphs in the past mm-hmm. have almost led to somebody, I always say, the phone ringing, somebody picked up the phone, you know, and you report something. Is that what you're trying to do here? Are you trying to nudge, push? Is this almost like a public negotiation where you may be further along with A or B or C and you're trying to get D to catch up, or you're further ahead with C and you're trying to get B to catch up because you're putting out a strong message? Do you expect, because you know these guys are all reading this, is that what you're expecting, or at least that's what you believe should happen?
I'm going to say more of my message is more along the following line, okay? I know what we have. I know where we're going, okay? You can come and join me now. You can come and join me later. You can come and buy me later, okay? The reality is that if you do not have a coherent plan and a willingness to go to full scale, then people are going to say you're bluffing, and we're not bluffing. We have the technology. We have the good. We're going to get it to work. The profit margins are there to support building up many, many plants. I've spoken to many people. It's really now down a darn question of having enough material to send it to this sampler. Like, if you read the press release, we say we're going to do 199 times more. Well, if you read our press release, we wrote we did less than 1 kilogram. But in reality, of that 1 kilogram, how much was there really good material? Probably 300 grams. Okay. So if we use half of it for our own analysis at McGill in those issues, we didn't have that much material to send to the guys on the NDA. We just had enough to tease them. Okay. And the tease has worked, at least on the tease has worked, but we just had enough material to tease them. Now, the $100 question is, can we scale it up? And our belief is that we can scale it up, and we've demonstrated and we're willing to demonstrate that this will be something that's happening. So I think it's important for me to re-explain, re-put it more into detail where we're going, and people understand how the steps are moving forward. And I understand the question of the dynamic is as follows. If this is so good, what's your share price? And I've often said there's two realities. There's a share price and there's the corporation where it is. And in this specific case, where we are in the fumed silica business, much more advanced. Same thing in the battery side. It's unfortunate, but you know, there's some events that occurred in the last year and a half since February of last year that were completely outside of our control that resulted in where we are now. But that's resolved and we're moving forward.
Well, let's remember that, and by no means am I drawing any kind of parallel, so nobody, but let's remember that Netflix, before it was really proven, offered itself up to Blockbuster at a significantly lower price than it is today. Market valuation to this day, Blockbuster passed, and we know what happened there.
And same thing happened to Google also?
I was going to say, we know that Yahoo could have bought Google twice. Yahoo could have bought them, I think, for $1 billion or $2 billion the first time, and then $5 billion the second time, and they passed. So, you know, I'm sure now, I want to make sure again, nobody is saying that HPQ Silicon is Netflix or Google. I want to make that clear. But from a market dynamic point of view, there are definitely times right before the sun rises, you know, during the dawn, when people say, well, if you're so good, Google, why are you only selling yourself for $1 billion? Or if you're so good, Netflix, why are you selling yourself to Blockbuster for such a small amount of money, right? That's been time eternal. Whether you turn out to be one of those is yet to be seen, but I want to make sure from a dynamic point of view, this happens all the time.
Well,
last question. Oh, go.
If we look at us in the fumed silica angle only, okay, we will reach that Netflix Google moment once we get the pilot plant working, producing material, and us sending samples. So if you look at this in the time frame of things, okay, I understand it was long to get here, but we're here.
And I know you alluded to earlier, but I just ask it again. So far, everything's going well with the commissioning, because we're now officially in Q2. You know, we're April 11th here, whatever the date is. So we're officially in commissioning phase.
Read correctly the press release. Okay. Final assembly the exact word I said, for the remainder of Q2, the project will focus on finalizing the assembly of the FSR and completing its commissioning. Okay. Don't put words in my mouth that I haven't said.
No, I'll try to say that.
I want to be very, very clear about what I wrote is what we sort of like all agreed to. And in beginning Q3, we'll be making material.
Anyway, so my question on that was, you guys are feeling pretty good. Nothing that keeps you up at night beyond the normal things that keep us all up at night. But you guys are pretty confident that it's looking good at this stage.
Yeah, if things are keeping you up at night, it's not related to that.
Last question.
Shoot.
Because I know you got to run also.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty important press release out of Pyrogenesis.
Mm-hmm.
Headline. Pyrogenesis announces block sale of HPQ Silicon shares to its present CEO, Peter Pascali, as we all know. There are two quotes that stuck out for me. Mr. Minella, and I forget what position
the CFO.
He has at Pyro. What's that?
He's the CFO.
CFO said two things.
Mm-hmm.
It underscores the continued support of Mr. Pascali of Pyrogenesis and HPQ. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's one of those, he's putting his money where his mouth is, because if there were big concerns, he probably wouldn't be putting up $670,000 of his own money. So that's part one. And part two, Manella went on to add, we are excited about the future holds for the projects and development of HPQ. Together, we continue to develop what we believe represents groundbreaking approaches for producing in-demand materials for heavy industry. We look forward to the collaboration with HPQ. So if anybody had any doubts, you would think it would be them, because,
okay,
you know, I would assume Peter wouldn't put up all that money if of his personal money in order to end this selling of shares and own them himself. But what's your take on that?
Okay. I'm going to put a caveat to all of this in the following event. There is a series of events that started in February of last year. Pyrogenesis was going to do a live financing and the AMF pulled the plug on it. Right. And that started a cascading events of financial difficulties, which are part of their, you know, I'm not inventing stuff here. This is all part of their
public record
of their disclosure. Right. It's not something, and it's all related to an account payable that has been delayed and delayed and delayed, not ours. Okay. More relevant to the Dross Right division. Now, I'm not from Pyro, so I'm not going to explain everything. I can only say what they reflect into it. But that original decision by the AMF started a cascading event that put Pyro in a difficult financial position. And is a member of the public domain that their only liquid asset were their strategic investment in HPQ. Did they want to sell it? I do not believe they really want to sell it. They wanted to sell it. Okay. Did they have to sell it? They did. Okay. Now, remember, we had a bit of a discussion a few weeks ago about there was a large seller. Well, like, you know, it's known it was them. Okay. And they were now, they were left with that last block to sell. And Peter decided to step up and buy that block because he was able to at that specific moment. And so in this way, it sort of helped Pyrogenesis. Okay. It helped HPQ because there's now no more overhang. Okay. The only last institutional investor with big money is the Quebec government. And in that regard, I'll just make a quick aparté. The Quebec government just woke up to the fact that we're actually in the silicone for battery material and that we fit within that criteria. Anyway, stop the parenthesis. We'll talk about this more later. So that was a massive overhang that sort of created the situation where there is a dichotomy between where the share price of HPQ is and where the projects are. Okay. Now, Peter is better positioned than everybody else to know that the pilot plan is getting ready pretty soon. So he knows that part too.
I mean, that's a third-party validation.
It's a third-party validation, but you know, it can be spun so many ways, all right? It can be spun as if, you know, just look at Stockhouse or any other social media. There'll be a thousand ways to spin this, okay? The key message for me is we got rid of the last overhang that there was, all right? And it's out of the way. It's in Peter's hand. He believes that he'll be making a lot of money with that investment. And Pyrogenesis did not lose any money because of the silly, stupid accounting rule with, you know, mark to market at every quarter. Okay. It looks, but people that have done the right study know that they have not lost money on their HPQ shares, even selling those. So, and I understand how he had to do it this way because, you know, there could be people that want to make a bad optic out of it will make a bad optic out of it. In my view, it's the last dangerous overhang is out. Somebody that needed to sell for cash. Okay. The Quebec government doesn't need to sell for cash. Okay. Can we make it?
Yeah, they need to sell your stock, then they got bigger problems than.
Yes. But in a funny way, What the AMF did in February 2023 to pyrogenesis has affected the Quebec government's investment in HPQ.
Yeah.
And that's been and that's compounded by many other issues that are ongoing. But from once that is finally out of the way, then it's easier for me to go talk more about all the great things that are going in HPQ, because I always had in the back of my head that overhang to deal with. Okay. And even though we dealt with a massive amount of shares, the last 4 million shares or 3.7 million shares was, I think, the one that kept me the most awake at night. And, you know, for Peter to step up and do that, you know, it helps him, it helps Spiral, it helps HPQ.
It seems like everyone's happy at the same time.
Well,
let's
be very realistic. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to come up with a lot of negative things to this.
Well, listen, of course. I mean, that's a given. I don't pay attention to the fringe. Look, I'm a businessman. I've been around for a long time. There aren't any really big negatives out of this. It seems like everyone gets what they needed. Pyrogenesis gets their influx of cash that they need. Peter retains that stock in HPQ that clearly he has some confidence in and just doesn't sell it out to the market and never sees it again. And HPQ gets the pressure taken off. So you must have been pleasantly surprised. Well, I'll leave it this because we got to wrap you up in the next minute and a half.
Yeah.
But you must have been pleasantly surprised with this.
Yes, I was. But I do say it's sort of like it sort of removes a stress on us, because it's, how can I say this? It became very apparent that they were the sellers. So that sort of became like a self-fulfilling prophecies, and traders tried to play trading around this and all those issues.
Yeah. Once the market
saw blood, they were after it. So now it's done. There's no more blood. There's no more overhang.
I'm going to make a prediction on our way out of this interview. I am heading away on business this weekend to a sunny location, but it's 100% business because I'm going by myself. But that virtually guarantees, by the Bernard Tourdiol Beyond the Press Release metric index that we've tracked since last July when I was in Greece, before that, when I was in Dubai last year, last February, March, that every time I'm away somewhere in a sunny locale, you are guaranteed to call me up and say, George, can we do an interview? Of course, I have no idea if you come out the press release in the next 7 or 10 days, but I just want to say it here on the record for everybody that if it happens, the theory remains intact. Bernard, thank you for joining us, my friend. Great news, great telegraphing, and great third-party validation. We'll see you next time. Everybody at home, you've been watching or listening to my podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, your favorite podcast platform. To Bernard Tourdiol, CEO of HPQ Silicon, HPQ in Canada, HPQFF in the U.S. Start your due diligence on Agoracom, because if you just discover fumed silica, you don't know a whole lot about it. But then make sure you head over to the HPQ website, because they've got fantastic deep dive information there, decks, information, presentations, everything you need. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
See you. Thanks, next George.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform, so you will never miss another one great Agoracom Small Cap Podcast.